that were to go away, I think you'd start hearing about it, because I think from the law enforcement standpoint, what do you do when you're standing there and there's a dog that needs to be dealt with? I mean, if you don't have that animal control resource, what do you do? And we help out the sheriff's department and other jurisdictions. Same thing with the fire department, EMS. If they're trying to deal with medical emergency and there's a dog that's, you know, still in the car after the car wreck, they're not going to put an ambulance in traffic to Springfield, but we've done that many times. So, again, I think there's a lot of things that the benefit of the community that this program does that never sees a light of day. It's not involved in contracts or anything like that, but it does get taken care of, and the community benefits from it. So there's a huge value to have this program. So I guess, again, what do you think the city of Branson would want to look at a partnership agreement or some sort of thing to start moving forward with?
Before we get the solution, let's agree that we're that we need this.
Oh yeah, and it's got to be a countywide solution. I mean, just like we had talked in previous things, if Branson, Hollister, and you know, Taney County are footing the bill for this, and then you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody starts driving somewhere else to dump their dogs or their cats or something, that's going to be the problem. And
because that happens now.
Oh yeah,
it'll be even more. Mm-hmm.
Commissioners, do you guys believe that the county needs an animal control, or you're not sure?
Oh, I think we need one.
Because I'm not suggesting a solution here yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying yes or no that we're going to, if we need one, I'm confident this group and a corollary group can solve it. It's just, do we need one? Then the question, well, first of all, is do you need one or don't
I think in the rural areas, we don't. But in the as you get to more dense populated areas, you got to have it.
Is there any feedback on how many of the animals come from some place or another? Are they all coming from subdivisions and built-up areas, or are they coming from...
No, about between 500 and 600 of them are coming from the rural areas.
But I would say that in Taney County anymore, these rural areas are densely packed subdivisions. They're just not incorporated.
That's my question. So what do you call it, a rural area?
Anything unincorporated in the county. We take in around 400 to 500 in the city of Branson, and I think 100, average about 100 in Hollister.
And of course, I live on Poverty Point. It's unincorporated. But people all the time bring their dogs to the edge of town and drop them off. Our subdivision has a stray dog every week or twice a month, something like that, that people just come out and let the dog out. I mean, the residents see them. They see the people, drop them off, and drive away. And the dog's looking around and trying to figure out, and pretty soon you see the same dog in the neighborhood for a while and realize that's what's happened to it.
I think at the last quarterly meeting, or last meeting, I gave you all a quarterly report that broke it down by jurisdiction. And anything that said Taney County, that's unincorporated parts of Taney County. I think that's for the, no, this is ordinances. This tells you which areas have which ordinances. But in the quarterly report, I broke it down by jurisdiction. And Taney County would be considered anything unincorporated.
Then you say 500 or 600.
No, that's 500 or 600 for the year. We take in average of 1,200 animals a year. So the majority of those animals are coming from the unincorporated parts of the county, and the rest of that is made up of all of the city of Branson and all the other jurisdictions that we have contracts with.
Do people think that it's just me, my dog, my cat, whatever I've had, and all of a sudden either I've not had a proper care for, I've not had a spayed, or I've not had And then puppies, just taking the puppies and dumping them in there. Is that what's happening?
We're seeing that as well. We see a lot of abandoned animals. There's certain areas in the county where seem to be favorite spots to leave animals. But we see people moving in and out. You know, we're a very transitional county. People move in, people move out. They move out, they don't take their animals with them, or they move into some place that they can't take their animals with them. We try to take the owner surrenders, but we always have to keep room for the strays. But yes, there's no spay and neuter program in the county or in the cities. There's no ordinances regarding that. So the litters of kittens and puppies are a problem because, you know, it's not cheap to get an animal spayed or neutered. So, you know, there's lots of reasons why we have the population we have, but it's there. And it's not just in the residential areas, it's everywhere.
Sometimes you need to see what the reason is, and you can solve the reason.
Mm-hmm. A spay and neuter program would help. But, you've got to get people of the mindset that spaying and neutering their animal is the right thing to do as well. And if they don't have, you know, a cost, something cost-wise encouraging them to do it, or an ordinance that's requiring them to do it, it's hard to, and that will be more of a problem in the rural areas, getting.
Does Hollister or Branson have such an ordinance that requires them?
I don't believe so.
No. Hollister doesn't, for sure. The other thing that we have to come to grips with is there is a group of individuals that feel strongly about animal welfare and all that, and I don't think that if you're not part of that group that somehow or another you're an animal hater or you have no feelings for animals or any of that kind of stuff. But one thing that's very difficult is when I first came to Hollister, we have a giant cat problem. We've never had anybody have to have rabies shots because of a dog bite. But we've had, on multiple occasions, cat bites that require rabies shots. Little girl comes up to the cat, bites her on the face, the cat runs away, now she's got to have rabies shots. Okay, well, the difference, there's two different populations of cats. There's ones that are fairly domestic, even if they've been outside for a little while, they're still eating at porches and they're doing some things. And then there are feral cats. And these cats, if a raccoon comes up and is menacing, people see it as a raccoon or as a wild animal. When these cats come up and they're menacing, people see them as a cat. And they're fluffy and they're somebody's pet. They're not. They're a wild animal. They're generation three wild animals. They're not anything that has been domesticated. And they're mean. And they're just like skunks, raccoons, and other wild animals. We have to see that. And when we went through all this stuff, I brought what at that time was the state's expert on cats. I think he was from West Plains, if I'm not mistaken. He came down and visited. He said, well, it's no wonder you're always going to have a cat problem. Why is that? Because you have all these woods. All these wild cats are wild animals. They live in the woods. They eat in the dumpsters, and that's how this works. And unless you get rid of all these woods, you're going to have these cats. Well, this is the Mark Twain National Forest, so I guess that meant we're always going to have cats. But he says, how you deal with them. So then when we went through and did our ordinance on feral cats and domestic animals and all that, we asked for advice from the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA, and they said you can't reform a feral cat. Once they're wild like that, they are wild animals. So it's just like taking a bear or a lynx or anything else that's been wild. Generation three is magic. If you take a wild animal and you breed them three times and they're domestic all the time, then they're legal and they've been reformed. I'm not 100% sure I bite into that, but that's what they say. So anyway, these are not generation three animals. They're generation one wild animals. And we've got to get through that our heads because we have cats everywhere. And that's a huge issue. Now we have dogs too. But that's one issue that is extremely expensive. And I'm going to tell you, when we found the lady with the 32 cats in her trailer 3 weeks ago, my heart just sinks. I start thinking, $150 times 32. A record is 70 something in a house. Oh my.
We had 85 in a house in Taney County.
Taney County, not in a
municipality. Unincorporated.
And a lot of time we have these large hoarding situations. We'll work with the Missouri Humane Society and another group, and they'll just bypass us and they'll go straight to those groups because we can't take a huge number of animals like that all at once, and we'll just be able to run, unless we can prepare for it like we did with the flood. But it's these issues, the spay neuter program, the ordinance issues, the situation with feral cats, the situation with the shelter, all these problems are not going to be solved at meetings like this. We need to have that partnership developed and then have a 501c3 or some other group partnering with us so that countywide solutions can be developed with strong backing from the jurisdictions. And with grant funding that's going to come from some entity to come back here to put together some of these programs, because there are spay and neuter programs out there that people have established. Typically, they're not funded through government agencies. There's grant funding. Now, grant funding is not going to solve all the problems, but a 501c, a nonprofit agency, is going to have a lot more access and opportunities to those grants than we want, because they just don't offer them to government agencies.
Back to what I thought I heard Rick say, are we looking at an animal pound to go to pick up the vicious animals, the stray animals, or an animal, and then the other part, the animal care center, the adoption now, what do you do with them after? What are we really looking at? And do you gave your figures here on, you have something, and I apologize if it's in the literature I've been read, how much investment are you thinking that it will take from each entity? Did you have a figure in mind there?
Well, certainly we're struggling at 400,000, but that's a start point, that there's 400,000 that we're spending today, and so to me that's a base figure. Now, then, when we get a decision making group here that's actually franchised into something, first of all, I believe that there's a figure that is calculable to say, for this density of population, we generate this many animals. Kind of. Now, we'd have to take a look, and we can do that with Branson's population, with Hollister's population now, and see if there's any correlation between Hollister has in the incorporated city limits 4,500, Branson has 10 something, and they're doing 500 dogs and we're doing 100. There's something there that we'll work and say, well, it appears that about this many people generate about this many animals, then we have the county and we know how many people are there, so we have a little less densely populated area, but we can see what that's generating. And we apportion out. So let's say there's Bull Creek and there's Merriam Woods, there's the 8 incorporated areas, Kirbyville, Taneyville. So we go through that bunch and we say, okay, there's X amount of these, and your annual contribution to this is $300 for one of the smaller jurisdictions, and for Hollister it's who knows what, $100,000, I don't know, something like that. And Branson has its corollary. And so we put all that together once we figure out what a starting point budget can be, whether we started at the $400,000 it's doing today, or whether we started at something slightly larger than that. Then if you're going to do a capital campaign for a building fund, that is a separate issue. That's handled on its own. If that comes out as a part of a 501c3 and the